Seeds of Doubt, Part 1. "I miss Walt," said Dee Dee. She was sitting with Rachel and Nick in the corridor of a cheerless government building near Red Square. Hamilton Cree stood at the end of the corridor with two Russian security guards, dour heavy men who seemed incapable of smiling. They had spent almost the entire morning seeking permission from the Russian government's communications bureaucracy to transmit Nick's daily blog from Moscow to the Otero network, as he had done in the other European cities they had visited. The stony reception he'd gotten from the bureaucrats sitting behind their formidable desks had not been encouraging. The door across the hallway opened, and a youngish blonde woman came out, smiling brightly at them. "I have good news for you," she said as Nick got to his feet. "The World Council has approved your request to broadcast your daily interviews with Mr. Kell from Moscow, and our communications department has endorsed their decision." Breaking into a rare grin, Nick said, "That's great. Thank you. However," the blonde went on, her smile diminishing, "you will not be allowed to broadcast Mr. Kell's address to the Duma this afternoon. TASS will cover that event exclusively."
"But I can interview Mr. Kell afterward?"
The blonde nodded.
"Along with all the other news representatives. A group interview."
Jordan stood before the members of the Russian legislature and pleaded his case for rescuing the worlds threatened by the death wave. Their response was polite but hardly enthusiastic. It wasn't until President Balakirev followed Jordan to the podium and pronounced,
"It is time for Mother Russia to be great again. It is time for us to lead the way to the stars,"
that the Duma rose to its feet as one person and cheered long and loud and lustily. Sandwiched in with more than 50 other newspeople shouting questions at Jordan, Nick felt like a very small fish in a very large pond. "That's okay," he told himself. "I'll interview him one-on-one when he gets back to the hotel, just him and me." But Jordan was whisked away from the Kremlin by Russian security personnel, together with Aditi Balakirev and a handful of other Russian bigwigs. "To see the ballet," the same bright-eyed blonde explained when Nick complained to her. She shrugged.
"I understand that Mrs. Kell wants to see our ballet."
Defeated, Nick returned to the hotel with Rachel and Dee Dee, and Cree and his cohorts. Once in their suite, Nick tossed his minicam onto the desk and slumped on the long sectional sofa, dejected.
"This stinks," he grumbled. "Jordan should have told me he wouldn't be able to do the interview today."
Before either of the women could reply, the phone announced, "Incoming call from Mr. Edgerton." Surprised, Nick said,
"Put him on."
The holographic viewer across the room lit up to show Walt sitting in what looked like a condo unit's living room in California. "Hello, friends," said Walt, smiling warmly. He was dressed casually in slacks and a pullover shirt, clean-shaven as he had been when he'd appeared in London, rather than the seedy, unwashed guru he'd been when Nick had first met him. Goggling at him, Rachel gasped,
"You shouldn't be phoning us. They'll trace the call, find out where you are."
With a relaxed wave of his hand, Walt said, "Not to worry, sweet one. No one is monitoring my phone."
"How can you be sure?" Nick demanded.
"Friends in high places," said Walt. "And speaking of friends, I see that your star man was too busy to be interviewed by you today."
"He went to the ballet," Nick growled.
"Really?"
"Yeah."
"Makes a good cover story."
Rachel asked, "What do you mean by that?"
With a nonchalant shrug, Walt answered, "I suppose he's meeting with his Russian friends in private."
"You mean in secret?" said Dee Dee.
"He's been with them all flickin' day," Nick said.
"All right, then," Walt rebutted, still smiling. "Suppose he's meeting with some others."
"Like who?"
"Like his friends on New Earth. I'm sure they want regular reports on how he's succeeding, and they'll want to give him his orders, of course."
"He hasn't been talking to anybody on New Earth," Rachel countered. "We're with him all the time, we know."
"All the time?" Walt challenged. "Like you're with him now?"
Nick frowned at Walt's image. "We can't be with him 24/7.
"That's what I mean."
"But we're with him enough to know that he's not a traitor."
"And you're sure about that?" "Absolutely positive. There's no way the man couldn't be fooling you. No way he couldn't be selling us out to the aliens."
Nick snapped, "No way!" Walt's smile vanished.
That's an awfully big claim, especially when the future of the human race depends on it.